Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady backs up, stands in. He's going to throw a long ball to a wide open Dorsett. He's going to hit him in stride at the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Patriots!
You can come in this building. You can kick all the little field goals you want. You can go home and tell everybody, hey, we at least got three. We're on the board. 58-yard freaking strike right down the cut to a guy nobody talks about. Start the buses.
Well, the Patriots are well on their way. You know what stands out to me about last night?
What?
Just a big overarching general thought about the game. And this is not a slight. I say this as a huge compliment to the Patriots and an assessment about where this season is going for them. So don't take this the wrong way. I don't think they tried all that hard. I think they blew out the Steelers, and it didn't take even close to their best effort or best game. That was like a warm-up act for them last night, and it was a blowout.
I thought they went in. Oh, opening drive. How exciting. I thought they went into this game and said, you know what? They do what they do. Like, that's a big thing with Pittsburgh. They do what we do. They do. Okay, we don't have Ben Watson for four games. Kendrick's out for a game. We have this guy, Lacoste. I know he's in a starting lineup right here. This starting lineup I get on paper. Izzo's in the game to start. Like, why are they starting Izzo? He didn't even put his hand down. They went into this game and said, we don't have a tight end. So let's...
Funny how that came to fruition in the game, Jim, isn't it?
Let's experiment.
Wait. The fact that they ran more plays last night without a tight end than they did all last season without a tight end?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, funny how Zoe mentioned this repeatedly last week. No tight ends. No tight ends. No tight ends. And then all of a sudden they come out last night and they don't have tight ends.
I told you about the two-back, three-back
formations. I know you did.
I've been telling you for 7 days.
I know you did. Zoe called that. You want to brag about
me? You didn't poo-poo the Antonio Brown stuff either.
You know what I am?
I know. You want to brag about calling something, Zoe. Brag about calling the no tight ends for the Patriots last night, because you repeatedly said it from Tuesday onward last week.
And if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers coach or fan, that's sad, because here's a radio guy. And this is with no, I mean, obviously, I sort of have a connection to the team. But really, and you've worked with me a long time.
Sort of.
Sometimes I get stuff, sometimes I don't.
Sort of.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm off on stuff. But if you know the team and just watch them and watch Brady throw to guys that he's never thrown, you really think he's going to go to one of these tight ends early in the season? And the Pittsburgh Steelers could not figure that out. Even after three series. I'm looking at Beto. I'm like, he won't even put his hand down. They got him in motion. He's going.
What, you mean like the play where Edelman and Gordon were both covered by linebackers?
Oh, that one? Yeah. And then not only did they not realize Pittsburgh is looking at New England and couldn't come to the assumption that they're not going to have a tight end this game. Then he said, let's go play some zone a little bit today. Because that's worked for us in the past. Zone. And by the way, they don't have Demaryius Thomas. AB's not active yet. That Edelman guy, let's give him free releases. Because that always works for them. Not disrupting New England's timing by not jamming Julian Edelman. I mean, my God. And wow, Pittsburgh. Wow. And you came in with nothing else. You didn't play to win the game. You didn't even play to keep it close. And I know I got on him on a couple fourth downs, but you got to come in here in this building with the mentality that we need touchdowns and we need them fast. We need to say we're going to keep pace with this crew.
What's wrong with the Steelers?
I mean,
really?
They talked about it last week. It's a tough place to play. I mean, the center, Pouncey. I love Pouncey as a center. He said, hey, I'm rooting hard for those guys. That's a big banner night. They went out and played their asses off on the road. They deserve that championship. That is a cool thing. You think Baltimore would say that? Do you think Terrell Suggs from Baltimore would say that?
But you saw some wrinkles in what they do defensively last year when these two teams met. You did.
Yeah.
You saw some changes. Last year, the matchup we just saw at the end of last season, the one the Steelers won, you saw a few things defensively. You said, oh, that's a little different.
I don't understand.
There's a little bracket coverage. There's a little something different there. Oh, so we're not just going to have a zone that Brady shreds tonight. No. Oh, look at this. The Steelers putting up a fight. Oh, this. Look at this. The Steelers game planning. And you thought, well, they're obviously going to carry some of that over, right?
Funny to me. I mean, every time I've seen Hayward and Watt to that one side and Hayward goes upfield and Watt loops underneath, Watt pretty much ran free every time and pretty much hit Brady. And they only elected to do that several times. Instead of every freaking time to do it with man coverage.
We were not ready for prime time.
Oh, you think? Oh. You think, Tomlin?
I saw him getting off the bus. We're down underneath. So the buses pull up and Celtics are walking through. And it looked like a circus act underneath because I never saw Taco fall in person yet. But it looks like he's walking on stilts, you know, like one of those clowns. And he's got the big baseball mitt. Tomlin gets off the bus. Hey, Taco, what's up, man? Hi, Coach. Are you ready to go? Yeah, we're ready. And he walks in the locker, chest out. You know, bravado. That's like he's Bill Cowher all over again. We're here to play. It ain't come to play. You knew it. Knew it right away. Maybe the whole atmosphere pregame, they got swept up in it, too. Because I look down there at their warm-ups, and they're all like, wow, look at this. And Ben Roethlisberger, damn it, I wanted to ask him this. And I saw him after the game. Why does he continue to warm up with a baseball hat on? How does it get you game ready? Maybe his head's so big that it's just his head swells.
You see the size of that head, though? I don't think he can. He doesn't want to put that helmet on any longer than he has to. There's a lot of bloat going on, so a lot of salt.
I don't care. I mean, I played 9 years, played against teams. I've never seen a quarterback warm up with just a baseball hat on. He's the only one in 40 years of football. It's weird. But that's what they tolerate. And we're going to do this all week with Antonio Brown. Well, he killed a bear. You know why? They tolerated his crap. That's that environment down there. They have a poor environment. A poor win. Yeah, you could beat the Cincinnati's and Cleveland's and Sisters of the Poor in Pittsburgh because they wave the towels and they play Renegade by Sticks at the end of the third quarter. Oh, mama, I can. Yeah, keep it close in the fourth. And the Steelers blitz you because they're Blitzburg. Yeah, but they don't blitz New England. They did one time.
So
last December.
Here's the question today after this game. Are the Patriots that good or are the Steelers that bad? Or both? And I think the answer is both. I think the Steelers are not as good as we thought they were.
Steelers don't have the personnel.
No, but I think the answer from what we saw last night lies somewhere in the middle. The Patriots are not going to dominate every team they play to that extent, and I don't think the Steelers are that bad.
I actually think it's more of the Patriots being good, though, than it is the Steelers being bad.
I think it's the Steelers being so unprepared for that game from what you guys talked about at the very start. Like, yeah, that was just like a dumb game plan and some dumb decisions throughout the game. That part of it, I think, is easy to fix. But personnel wise, they still have enough players to be so much better than what you saw last night. And the Patriots are not going to dominate teams like that all season long. The truth lies somewhere in the middle.
I'm not so sure that they're not going to dominate teams the way they did last night. Have you seen their schedule? Have you seen the teams they have coming up?
Tell me the next time they're the underdog.
They have a fun week, too.
Well, you can say that for the last 20 years, Jim.
But look at their schedule and tell me when they'll face a team, again, that's as good as Pittsburgh. Or a team that you think is as good as Pittsburgh.
It doesn't require facing a team necessarily as good as Pittsburgh. And believe me, as much as I wanted to be fearful of that week two game in Miami after what happened yesterday, that doesn't bother me so much anymore. But it's one of these games that you're not expecting, and whether it's, you know, even at home against the Giants, you know, it's just somebody who comes up with the right plan on the right night that frustrates you early. Like the Patriots were frustrated early last night until the double pass play with Edelman, and I think that sparked something and got them going a little bit, and they started to feel themselves. But if you can keep them frustrated for just, you know, three series as opposed to one and a half, then maybe you have a chance at putting up more of an effort than what the Steelers did last night.
Yeah, the Steelers don't have a roster problem. They just weren't prepared.
Right.
Yeah.
Even the utter lack of awareness on that Edelman play, that double pass, he was so far in the backfield, more so than any other time he's run that. You know, down and not one person on their sideline, right in front of us. Here's the booth. I'm looking at it. I say, oh my, here we go. Double pass. Nobody's yelling, pass. Double pass. Get back. Nobody. That's home. Oh, it's not a bubble screen. Oh my God, he threw it backwards. I'm just glad he didn't throw it to Brady. I don't see him catch it and blow his knee out or something.
Whew. This is all offensive, though. Who's going to score on this team?
Nobody.
That's the answer, Hardy. Who's going to score on this team?
There are elements of this thing that we've been looking at defensively that I want to talk about because I got something to say on it.
Yeah.
From a league perspective, that was some physical play yesterday.
I think we got a guy offensively we need to talk about, too.
Who?
That I think was sort of a nice way to sum up the night for the Patriots and how prepared they were to just exploit and take advantage of a lesser, less intelligent team, and that's Philip Dorsett. A guy that doesn't get enough credit, and I put myself in that. I don't give Philip Dorsett enough credit.
Nope.
I don't give him the credit he deserves.
Kid runs good routes, catches everything.
You had him cut, right?
I was saying a month ago, if he gets cut, he gets cut, and he might get cut. And what a mistake that would have been. What a mistake that would have been.
Because and Burkhead, too.
Philip Dorsett last night is a sign. Remember everybody had Burkhead in the bubble? I didn't have Burkhead.
I'm like, the quarterback and the offensive
coordinator. I didn't have Burkhead getting cut.
Burkhead.
I just told you the NFL.com story to get you riled up. I didn't have him getting cut.
Unbelievable.
But Philip Dorsett last night is just a sign of the Patriots being prepared to just shred inferior opponents and having their issues not be an issue come week one. So we'll talk more about that, and you have some thoughts on the defense.
Yes.
And, of course, your calls as well, 617-779-0985. We'll talk Patriots for 99% of this day today. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
The other 1% will be on the Red Sox firing Dave Dombrowski. I won't tell you when we'll do that 1%, but it will be somewhere in this show today.
Nice news, Doug.
Okay? At some point today.
And we'll take a break for Read and React and Sound of Sunday, get around the other stuff in the league.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A little other stuff? NFL. So 99% stuff, huh? Football today, if you don't mind.
Where's our intern?
Your call's on the way as well.
Oh.
Go nowhere.
Nice.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For me, it's just always be ready. Always just run the right route. Be where he wants you to be. And you never know when the ball's going to come to you as a receiver. I mean, you never know what the coverage is. So they might bust a coverage, or they might play the perfect coverage. But at the end of the day, just be where you need to be, and time will find you.
That's Philip Dorsett. Last night after a Patriots win, Philip Dorsett was definitely a factor in this game last night. And to me, Philip Dorsett just sort of personifies the Patriots' preparation for the game. Because Philip Dorsett was really not on anybody's radar going into this game, or really going into the season. And you go into the year, and you start the season, and you completely exploit the Steelers last night. And Philip Dorsett is the guy who's sort of making a big impact, as did Josh Gordon. Don't want to discount what he did.
Yeah.
But on the first touchdown to Philip Dorsett, you know, he had a quote after the game talking about Josh Gordon. And it's just so casual. Just so casual when he says, yeah, the safety jumped on Josh. You know, he had that in cut, safety jumped, and I just knew I had to get there, and Brady was going to throw me the ball, and I'm paraphrasing. I just had to get there. He was going to throw it to me. Yeah, no, we knew.
That's FBI, football intelligence.
Like, that's just knowing. That's just being a smart football player and knowing your offense.
When Nikhil
and,
Harry
and knowing that when the defense does one thing, and it just seems so simple because we're just so used to Patriots players doing these things. It was like, oh, yeah, no, I knew it was going to be there. I knew that was going to happen.
And see, and it's
boom,
even
touchdown.
It's even beyond Dorsett because it all comes back to coaching again. Because knowing your opponent, and let's go back to this historical perspective of how do Steelers play us defensively? And what are they hyper-centric and what do they focus on? It's Edelman, it's Gronkowski, it's James White. So you're going to get double-double, ISO, in-out. You're going to get bracket coverage. And who always do we hit on anything, whether it's a reverse or a flea flicker? It's the fourth guy. Hogan had some of his biggest games. Hogan against them in the playoffs. My God, game of his life. Because they ignore the fourth guy. So if you look at it last night, okay, we're going to look at, oh, man, Burkhead, White's in a huddle. We got Edelman here. Josh Gordon's over there. We'll just single Dorsett on the backside and not worry about him. Hey, safeties are there, but you know what? We don't have to cheat back. It's Philip Dorsett. Third and 10, you run through coverage. Smoke. Hey, that's embarrassing from a coaching standpoint. It really is. It's disrespectful. And Patriots took advantage of it. They know what you're going to do. That's coaching. Dorsett still had to respond. He had to go out and play. And he did. And credit to him. Especially with that guy's going through lately this week. So, it was a lot of fun watching him play. I'm happy for him.
So, I said after the game last night, I was talking to Jim Murray, and I said, Jim, this guy, you know what impresses me most about Philip Dorsett? And I didn't have these stats at the time, but I've since read them. That Philip Dorsett, I go, you know what amazes me about him is how efficient he is.
Yeah.
Like, he catches everything that goes his way.
Remember they ruled that one a non-catch? What game was that last year? Oh, God. It was towards the end of the year. I think it was one of the divisional games, whether it was Jets or Bills. And Dorsett had caught, I think, 16 in a row up to that point. And it wasn't a drop, but they ruled it a drop.
What game was that?
Damn it. It was either Jets or Bills at home.
They ruled it a target that Brady targeted him, but he was obviously throwing
okay,
it away.
That's what it was. And, I mean,
did they change it?
I don't think he's dropped a ball. No, they didn't change it.
What week was that?
It might have been in the playoffs, though, because that wouldn't count
okay.
as far
okay.
as
no,
that.
I'm looking at regular season. So okay. in the regular season,
yeah.
Going back to week five of yep. last year.
He was on streak, man.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, sorry.
You all right?
Jesus.
You okay?
Yeah. They right. fix your thing yet, too?
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Check your thing.
Yeah, I think they fixed it.
Chargers. It was a Chargers game when
okay.
that happened.
Well, going back to like the Indy game of last year when he had three catches on three targets.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through every game
yes.
from that week on, because the week before that was Miami when he had four catches on seven targets. These are his games, regular season. Three catches on three targets. One catch on one target. Three catches on three targets. Two catches, two targets. Two catches, two targets. Five catches on five targets. In the regular season, he has caught every single ball thrown his way going back to October 4th of last year. He hasn't missed a single ball thrown his way. He's caught everything. Now, granted, it's only 19 catches, I believe. But
normally when you don't get the ball, you kind of double clutch things and you have stone hands and you don't have confidence. He plays with confidence, and that's a credit to him because it's very minimal when the ball comes his way. But this is what's great. It's to the coaching part of it. Like, they knew.
It's 20. Right. I think it's 20. It's 20 now.
He's going to be a part of that game plan.
20, going back to that.
Yesterday, he was going to be a big part of the game plan. Like, they knew that against Pittsburgh.
It's ridiculous.
It's amazing.
It's ridiculously efficient.
Pittsburgh went to that.
And so, credit to him. Credit to the Patriots. Like, a guy who just is down the depth chart a little bit, is smart, prepared, ready to go, and F you Pittsburgh in week one. Yeah, we'll take care of business. Don't worry about it. Oh, Antonio Brown's walking through the door. Yeah, it's okay. We got Philip Dorsett for week one. He's fine. A guy that none of us would expect to have a huge impact on the game was just ready and prepared to go. A guy who come in, he'll be fine. We'll be good. Oh, Demaryius Thomas is inactive? Yeah, we don't need him anyway.
No problem.
No worries.
You know what, Demaryius? You go, he'll have a leg up. Hey, Kyle, go take care of the baby. We'll see you guys next week.
No issues. None whatsoever.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. All good. And that is a testament to the Patriots and what they do. Being a smarter team.
Jim, I want to go back to last week when Tomlin was talking about Brady and really, he and the way he operates, his disposal of the weapons that is spread out to him and, from the neck up, and his understanding of the game. His above the neck game was pretty good last night, right? How's his disposal of targets and what they surround him with? Like, was he that vague because he didn't know what they were going to do? Seriously, ask yourself that question. And Tomlin's addressing the Patriots of week one. He kept it pretty vague. Like, disposal of what he has given. Because he didn't know who's going to be on the field. Did they change series to series? No. Like, if J.J. Watt didn't get, or excuse me, if T.J. Watt didn't get pressure, who's the guy that's going to get pressure?
I think they thought they were going to do what they did all through their playoff run last year. That's why they held Sony Michel to 14 yards on 15 carries. They loaded up against the run.
They thought Michel was going to be a major factor, and New England said, look at this front, Sony. You're not going to be part of this game plan today, but you need to keep your head in it. Because in 2 weeks, we can run at 25.
Well, they started
times.
With, what, five straight runs, though?
Yeah.
Yep. And then they realized, second series, all right, we're going to start passing the ball.
Yep. Let's get a feel for what they
did. They had it figured out for one series.
You know what that's called, Jim? That's called an adjustment. That's something that Mike Tomlin hasn't quite figured out in his coaching career. Adjustments. That's something that the Steelers will someday. Actually, you know what? I don't even know that someday they'll figure that out, but. Hopefully someday they figure out.
Were they ready for prime time?
I don't believe they were ready for prime time.
I don't think they were ready for prime time.
Nope. Yep.
We were not ready for prime time.
Oh, there it is. Confirmed. Not ready for prime time.
We busted it. We own it. We chew it. It sucks.
Again, please.
We busted it. We own it. We chew it. It sucks.
What'd they bust?
They busted it.
They busted it.
Philip Dorsett touchdown.
Oh.
The long one.
Well, not really busted coverage. He just ran through cover two.
We busted it. Hmm. We own it. We chew it. It sucks. We can't have that and be varsity. We can't have that and be competitive. But we had it tonight. And so that's why I said what I said. We were not ready for prime time.
They are not the varsity. They are not the varsity.
Would they be JV, right, freshman team, middle school? That's a team that's going to win the, and I say that, kind of don't feel great about after last night, but they'll win the North. They will. They'll find a way to string six together, especially playing at home. They're going to have one good road win, and that's going to sort of galvanize them, and then they'll screw up at the end of the year. But they'll still manage to squeak out the North. I do. 9-7, 10-6. They could do that in the North.
Zoe's got thoughts on the defense. Yes. We're going to get to those thoughts coming up next. He's going to tell you all about it. The Patriots' defense last night, which was operating without Kyle Van Noy. He missed the game. His wife was having a baby, and he was a late scratch, inactive for the Pats last night. So they worked without Kyle Van Noy. He was not out there. John Simon took his place, and the Patriots' defense allowed 3 points because Mike Tomlin decided to kick a field goal. What an embarrassment for the city of Pittsburgh, for all of Pennsylvania, that 3 points that he decided to take. Kicking a field goal instead of going from the one.
It's consolation, man. You want to get on the board there. You don't want to get
this. Well, they avoided the shutout with that. That's good.
You didn't like the you didn't like that fade pass they threw out of bounds on third and one with the two backs they have?
No. Why they were stupid, of course, is coming up in just a bit at 11. You don't want to miss that. But the Patriots defense, Zoe's thoughts on that are on the way after this. Here are the headlines with Hart.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
47, ball on the right hash. flash near the Flying Elvis logo. Low snap to Roethlisberger, throws across,
no
drop.
Yeah.
Knocked out of the hands of Moncrief and punch free by Patrick Chung. Patriots take over rundown.
Still 83 yards.
All right, talk to me about the Patriots defense. What'd you think?
All right, now obviously we knew they were going to be good on paper, but then you see them apply it, advance some things, move guys around like crazy, the substitution patterns. And I say this because of the coaching. Because I'm watching Bill, then you're watching where Mayo is, you're watching where Steve is, and the functionality of it. And I go back to 5 weeks ago where they're huddling in between every series and Bill's kind of, you know, directing things. They're way past that. Like, these guys are in on it. Mayo's ready to go. He understands his team. He understands the personnel. The physicality that they played with. And they continue to do that. They're not going to... I don't think they're going to break the point total. The Ravens of 2000, 165 points through 16 regular season games. That's 10.5 per game. They're not going to break it. They're going to flirt with it. They're going to be at 14 or under per game. I just think they're that good. This is not an overreaction. This is watching games yesterday. This is watching teams that weren't prepared at the beginning of the year. This team, and I think this has sort of been the narrative around them for the last 4 or 5 weeks, even when Stidham had all those reps with Hoyer in that game one, like, look at them. They're so well coached than other. They're so much more coached than other teams. Teams aren't ready to start the year. This is as ready to start a year team that I've been around in a while. I know they won last night. They look great. Where do they get some of these guys in-house and get them up and running on offense?
I just think the number of personnel groupings on defense is off the charts.
Like Calhoun had a ton of reps.
How the hell do they keep track of that?
You did this without Van Noy last night. Bill's like, we have 5 linebackers active.
Who on that staff is in charge of that? Just the groupings.
Mayo was sending. There are times it looked like Steve was calling the defensive signals. And I say that, and I know that because now, hey, Bill's on a headset, and he could be helping him out with it. But as they're calling the headset, I'm looking at Bill, and takes this pen out of his ear, writing something down. As the groupings and personnel are being set in the play call.
Went up by...
So that's not Bill.
24 or more with less than...
And again,
26 minutes to play in the game. Send... Like, what? I'd like to know the arbitrary rules they're creating on that sideline for how they're going to use these groupings, too. You know there's some of those things going on.
Isn't it
there
just
too.
Personnel, though? Isn't it who the other team rolls out? They have this personnel. We're rolling with this group.
Oh, yeah. No, Pittsburgh broke the huddle after a timeout.
Here's what happened. When did they make the decision to put
Jonathan
Harman,
Jones was standing on
Harman
the sidelines, like 1 yard onto the field, right, Jonathan Jones?
Yeah.
And he was just waiting for somebody to come off the field. Yeah. And if the guy didn't come off, he'd go back.
Yeah. Pittsburgh broke the huddle after a timeout. Patriots had a personnel package out there that they wanted to force Pittsburgh to go into. Pittsburgh did it. Patriots substituted 5 players before the snap. And Ben's like, and the left guard, Reuben Foster's like this. A snap count.
What was he doing? The whole game he was doing
that.
You
know what? They went on silent count, and it wasn't that noisy. You know what he did?
There was no noise.
He did this.
There didn't need to be any noise.
It's this
simple. The Patriots were kicking the crap out of them for most of the night.
That's what he did. He's turned. He's looking like this. Ben's ready. I do this. Slap the center on the ass, and we're up and running. He slapped Pouncey on his ass and said that was the snap count.
There wasn't a lot of noise there last night.
There was no noise.
There was not a noise problem.
They got psyched out again.
There was noise during the banner ceremony. That's about it.
Yeah. Gronk. There was noise for Gronk.
Gronk looks like he likes football.
I thought last night, Gronk with his spike, that was his retirement press conference. There you go. That's Gronk's send-off.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was. Goodbye, Gronk. We love you. That's what I thought that was.
See you in week 8.
What's that?
See you in week 8. Not happening.
The addition of Antonio Brown, does that make it more or less likely that Rob Gronkowski rejoins the Patriots?
Like, I'd take that CBD oil that my dad gave me. I'd take it off the back. And I see Antonio out there running around making plays. I want to make plays.
Is that how Rob Gronkowski talks?
It's kind Gump. Of like a Forrest Gump thing.
I go back to
it wasn't
Gump.
Complimentary of Rob at all.
No.
You want to hear? I want to hear Rob off the cuff. Rob is so much better off the cuff. Like when he sat down with LeBron and him, did that sit around.
It was unlikely that he was going to return anyway. This makes it less likely. Less likely.
That's what I think.
Even if between Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, the two of them combine for a dozen regular season appearances, it's...
Do you know why? All these people that think Gronk is coming back, Zoe included, keep telling me that Brady's going to make the call. That's how it happens. Brady will call him. Why is Brady calling him if Antonio Brown is here? And he's got Antonio Brown that he's going to be throwing the ball all over the yard to.
Well, I would say there's going to be an issue now with bringing him back and paying him, but apparently there's no issue with bringing on whoever you want and paying him whatever they want. Apparently that doesn't really factor in at all.
Greg Bedard, who will be with Felger Mass tomorrow, told us last night on postgame that he thinks the Antonio Brown deal that he ends up signing today, we assume pen to paper today, hasn't been announced by the team, which is why Bill Belichick wouldn't talk about it last night, could end up being in the 3 to 4 year range. Much like Tom Brady's extension with the team was a 3 year extension
where the two years void.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same way that Revis signed a 2 year deal where the second year automatically voids, that his deal for salary cap purposes could end up being a 3 or 4 year deal where it automatically voids the final 3 years.
We have from Adam Schefter 33 seconds ago.
Wow. Just now?
Just now.
What does it say?
Patriots added an option year for Antonio Brown in 2020 at $20 million, which becomes guaranteed if executed, per source. It was done to help for cap proration purposes this season.
But is that it? It's just 2 years? It's one plus an option?
That's all he has.
That's exactly what Darrell Revis did, right?
Yes.
One real year, one phony year.
Yep.
So Darrell's was 24 for the second year,
but it's only
like
spread out over 2 years.
It was like 14 and 20. Yeah, you're right, Hardy. It was like the same thing. 14 first year,
but they could push more money into the second year if they wanted to.
If he got $9 million spread over 2 years, it's $4.5 million per year, right? They said $9 million at signing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's but as high as to count as 15 for year one.
They still have to count as his base salary on this year's cap too, which is up to.
If it's a 10-year deal, it's a $10 million, right, with $5 million in incentives. So no. It's probably $1 million base, $9 million signing bonus.
It's going to be $1 million. It's going to be $1 million base, $9 million to sign.
Okay, that still means that $5.5 million is getting counted on the cap.
Yes,
which means they would still have to come up with $1 million in cap space, according to Greg Bedard. Do you know there's a secret
The Jonathan Jones extension was reported, so that could free it up.
Right, so that might be why Jonathan Jones had that extension done over the weekend. Do you know there's a secret salary cap report inside the league that goes around?
Ooh.
I had no idea.
I like that.
Captain Salary Cap himself, Greg Bedard, told us last night that the cables that are sent out throughout the league reported the Patriots as having $4.5 million in space prior to the weekend.
Pro Football Talk adding that this is a team option and it should be done by 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay. So Antonio Brown is here. It's a 2-year deal. 1 year plus an option for salary cap purposes. That second year option, $20 million guaranteed if executed. Something tells me they're not going to be executing that option for Antonio Brown for next season.
No, he's in the building today.
That's a dummy option for next year. And he's in the building in Foxborough after landing yesterday. Let's talk more about Antonio Brown, what it means for the Patriots. We'll do that coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand. Why the Steelers were stupid at 11.
Yeah.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Helpline. MA.org.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports hub.
Hey, Lawson, let me see it.
Look up Adam Schefter.
The Raiders. Free! Fly like a free, fly like me. Oh.
I'm free.
Grandma, they freed me.
I'm free.
Ha ha. They freed me, Grandma.
And I'm waiting for you.
Greatest.
Somehow, I don't think it was God that got you released, Antonio Brown.
That was God's plan.
I don't think that was God that made that happen.
That's sucker God, I tell you. He's conniving, huh? Yeah. That's God's plan. Then we're not putting this on God. No way. No way.
That sucker? What?
That little sucker, yeah. Oh, had me fooled the entire time. And he backdoored us at that Antonio Brown. His react. Where were you when the news broke? Where were you? What were you doing? I'll never forget what I was doing.
Which news?
The Antonio Brown news.
I was texting you.
You were texting me. Like, where?
We were in a full blown text conversation.
Were you just staring at your phone? Because you were so on.
You know what
so
we were
quick?
Doing? We were bitching at each other about UMass football.
We're killing UMass. I was watching that dog ass UMass game.
We were sitting there watching the UMass game, complaining to each other.
Jesus.
About it.
I'm trying.
That's what we were doing.
I'm trying, UMass. I really am.
We were in deep on that game when this all happened.
Yeah. Boy, you think Pittsburgh blew that coverage. Whew. Watch that UMass game Saturday. My God. And you text it to me. I hurry up and I go right to Twitter. And I'm like, okay, check mark, blue check mark. It's real. Brody! Brody! Brody's like, what? It's like, Brody, they got Antonio Brown. He goes, what do you mean they got Antonio Brown? I said, Antonio Brown's a Patriot. No, Dad. I'm like, yes. He starts running around. I'm slapping him. He's slapping me. That's what you do. And you go outside, you run around a little bit, just like AB did. You know what gives more credence to the fact that people think that this was the plan the whole time? How excited he was when you get cut. Most guys really aren't that excited when you get cut. You know?
He was way too excited.
It's like, it was a, I'm going to New England dance. I'm going to.
He thought God cut him.
God cut him. God cut
that
him.
That sucker.
God's plan. And I said, this to me really felt like, okay, hey, Dan Roach, you're going to go cover the Houston game, but we're booking your flight late, so we want you to go to Detroit. Hang out there in the airport for a couple hours. Then we're going to put you on a plane to land. It's a nice airport, but you might have to get one at Monterey because it's really big, so plan accordingly. Then we'll eventually get you to Houston. It's like planes, trains, and automobiles to get here. Like, okay, Pittsburgh, you don't want to take that number one draft pick that we will offer you, and you don't even want to take the call? Send them somewhere else, Drew. And call us if it doesn't work out. He's way too happy getting cut. I felt something, not fishy, but this is why Friday I said, you know what? I'll take him.
Things had soured in Oakland. That was obvious. And on top of that, they had voided his money by the time he had been cut.
Yeah.
So he knew he had lost his money already. And then he wanted to be cut. So I get why he wanted to be cut by then. Once your money's gone, you don't want to work there anymore. get me out of here.
Technically you lose that type of money, but his earning potential moving forward, you get on a plane, and the second you step off, you're getting $10 million basically handed to you by the best team in football.
Yeah, guaranteed.
No.
Here you go.
It's a good plan. Good plan if you could get it.
If you know in the back of your mind that it's there for you if you do get cut.
Kind of like it makes it look like they knew.
Do you think Drew Rosenhaus knew that if he was cut by the Oakland Raiders, he had the Patriots waiting? I do.
Yeah.
I think he knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, how naive do you have to be to think that Drew Rosenhaus didn't know this?
I mean,
now, is that tampering? I don't know. I don't know if there was actually a phone call placed where they had to call him and explicitly tell him, Drew.
No.
I don't know if that had to happen.
No, but I mean.
But I think based on what played out, whatever did play out in the offseason.
Between the tea leaves.
Drew Rosenhaus had to have known. I mean, that thing that we played for you last week.
On how far back you want to go in terms of like, you know, how
March?
Long. See, I don't go. But if you're just on the Drew Rosenhaus side of this, maybe you can make a case for that. But for the Patriots to think that Antonio Brown was going to end up there on their team.
I'm not talking about that. Okay. I'm just saying that.
Just on the Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus side. Yes.
Drew Rosenhaus knew, if Chris Mortensen knew that the Patriots offered a first round pick back in March to the Steelers for Antonio Brown.
Serious.
Then Drew Rosenhaus knew that if he got cut in Oakland, the Patriots would sign him.
Regardless of why he was cut. Yeah. Wouldn't matter.
That if they were willing to give up a first-round pick in March and liked him that much in March, that him shooting his way out of Oakland wasn't going to be enough to stop them from signing him for absolutely no draft pick commitment in September. He knew that. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out.
You don't have to be, but
you don't have to get a phone call, and you don't have to tamper to figure that out if you're Drew Rosenhaus.
He also knows the salary cap situation because of the Gronk situation and how much money they may have offered Gronk to come back.
Yes.
And it looks like he's already covered.
Or maybe there was a standing offer to Gronk.
And he's also close with Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick and Drew Rosenhaus have an excellent working relationship that has been well documented over the years.
Drew, give me one or the other. Get my tight end back or give me a playmaker.
We have $10 million for this season. Whoever says yes first, go.
We're here. And quarterback can't bitch now. He got to go. They saddled up. They saddled you up with some pretty good talent. This thing has come together nicely over the last
few
weeks.
If you're Drew Rosenhaus, don't you get a little bit nervous when you see, like, to the extent he was shooting his way out of Oakland?
Not if he helped him create that.
Well, no, because by then the money was gone.
Are you that diabolical?
Or no, seriously. Well, you're talking about the video on Friday night?
Yes.
Yeah, the money wasn't gone yet. No, that was a costly YouTube video. That cost him $30 million. In guaranteed money. If you don't know what we're talking about, Antonio Brown secretly recorded his head coach, John Gruden, on a phone call and then built it into a YouTube video that he produced and published on Friday night. Wow. You think that happens here? Do you think he'll be recording Bill on the phone?
I know.
Do you think Bill will even talk to him on the phone?
I bet you Bill didn't even talk to him in his process until he got in the building and the door was shut.
You think Bill will even pick up the phone when a player calls? Yeah.
Antonio, coach is on the line.
Hello.
Yo, what's up, coach?
What the hell's going on, man?
Yeah, I can see that.
Was that Gordon or is that Frank Caliendo?
What's going on?
I'll tell you what.
When I first saw it, I thought that was a fake like Caliendo thing.
What's going on, man?
And Gruden trying to play it off. I thought it was cool. I think it was awesome. Good video. Yeah, fun to watch.
Gruden, he's gone. You don't have to suck up anymore.
See Mayock's daughter tweeting over the weekend? Like she tweets out, like, I need a lot of help right now. I need help. I'm going to lose my mind. Your dad got... I mean, I don't say put over, but he's friends with Bill. Very good friends. And he took you to the house on it, man. They got fleeced.
We got more on Antonio Brown. Plenty more to say on that topic. But why the Steelers were stupid?
Oh.
We do that at 11 a.m. every single week the Patriots win. I got a feeling we'll be doing a lot of these this year. A lot of why the other team was stupid. That's coming up in 90 seconds.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Now Dorsett motions wide to left. Brady takes the snap. Play fake to White. Throws it to the left. Dorsett makes the catch. Turns to the far sideline. And steps out of bounds with a first down scoot to the 48 of New England. 8 and over, but late for the Steelers. 3rd and 1 from the Pittsburgh 44. Short motion from the left by McDowell. Toss to the left for Cotter. And he's going to be caught in the backfield. Jamie Collins anticipating with a burst. And a takedown at the 40.
Pittsburgh has run the same exact play 3 times in a row. Ben tosses left. Left guard's not set. He can't get the call. He gets blown up. Loss of 4.
A 4th and 1 for the Steelers. Out of the 2-minute warning. At the Patriot 47. Down 17-0. Roethlisberger under center. Connor the single back. 2 receivers left. And Roethlisberger calls timeout.
They were going to run it.
False start. Offense. All alignment except for the center. It's a 5-yard penalty. Replay. 2nd down.
What's that?
I don't know what Al Michaels has said or Bill Hillgrove, voice of the Steelers. That's the call of the night from Clee Blakeman, our referee.
Look at the center.
Roethlisberger throws it to the left, air mailing it incomplete. He had 2 receivers in the vicinity, Moncrief and Switzer, but no chance to complete it.
Send them
here
in.
Here comes the field goal unit.
Oh! why other teams are stupid. Oh, my God.
You stupid or something?
We busted it. We own it. We chew it. It sucks.
I'm as stupid does.
A lot of stupidity to go around in that game last night. A lot of stupidity by the Steelers. We knew it. We knew it was going to happen. We called it. We told you last week. This is a stupid opponent coming to town.
Of course.
They don't lack talent. They lack brains. That's what they lack. Brains.
Guts,
they lack
balls.
Coaching, intelligence.
You know what they lacked? A feel for the game and timing.
They don't have that.
They don't have that.
Not even a little bit.
Now, there was a sequence in there that was not in why you were stupid. I got on for them earlier in the game where I thought they should have went up for it on a fourth and half a yard in their own territory. So,
the first play in that sequence that we just played in the montage of why they were stupid was a third and five play. And this one may not have stood out to a lot of people watching the game, but it was third and five in the first quarter.
What's the coverage?
6 minutes to go in the first quarter. Third and five from the New England 40. It was a short pass to Philip Dorsett, pushed out of bounds. Patriots picked up the first down. They picked up 8 yards on the play. As you heard Bob Soucy say, Joe Hayden was in coverage on the play, and he was late, and he was way off Philip Dorsett. Do you know why he was not near Philip Dorsett?
Oh, why?
And was so far away and was so late getting to him in coverage? I don't know if this came through on the broadcast. I haven't had time to go back and look.
It was the motion and just getting caught up in the...
It wasn't even the motion. There was motion on the play. Dorsett was in motion. Hayden was messing around with his mouthpiece.
Oh. Well, you don't want to knock your teeth out. Yeah. Could be expensive dental work.
I don't know what he was doing. He was like messing around with his mouthpiece. And for some reason, just like stopped playing football. And I think Joe Hayden is awesome.
I think Joe Hayden is awesome 4 years ago.
Well, as a player, his career, I think he's been a hell of a player.
He's been a good player.
They just signed him to a big contract
Huge
extension.
Contract. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh, they gave him a lot of money. I don't know why you're signing guys at his age to huge money, big extensions. I'd let him play that one out. But
did you see the size of Foster, Pouncey, and Villanueva on that left side?
But he just,
and you got a back. Go ahead.
On a third down play,
yeah,
he just stopped playing for a moment because he just was so distracted by his mouth guard.
Well, we do have Pop Warner. You have to be snapped up all four steps.
It wasn't zone either. It was man. He had a man, and the man was in motion.
He was manned up on Dorsett, and he just like sort of slowed down and stopped running with him and was so far back off the line because he's still fiddling with the mouth guard. And then Dorsett just easily picks up 8 yards in the first down.
And Dorsett knows it. Brady knows it because when you go in motion, is he going with me or not?
I'm like, what
is
he doing?
We got a man indicator. It's man. I'm going to run this route against man, or I'm going to run another route against zone. It's just simple stuff.
And we
just
had a great vantage point on that play, but I'm like, what the hell was that?
But I am absolutely floored. Your third and goal from the one, your third down call is the inside receiver trying to go vertical into the back pylon, which is one of the most low percentage type throws down and tight like that, instead of a quick slant or a pick or a bubble screen, right? Like, that's a tough throw. A guy going up the field, away from you on an angle, and you got to loft it perfectly at that pylon, and you don't want to throw a pick there. But yet, they got 6'8", Villanueva is left tackle. Foster's a massive man at left guard. Pouncey's one of the best setters in the league. And you have a hard running back in Connor. You're third and goal for the one. You're down, and you don't try to run stuff that thing twice over the left side, and you kick a field goal. If I was that offense, I would have walked off the field. I would have walked right in the locker room, actually. Not to the bench, to the locker room. Because that's a ball game. You just quit. You give your team no chance. Then it became comical. Well, how many field goals will they need after this? 8. If they get 8 field goals, it'll be a tight game. And I couldn't believe they kicked a field goal down and tight. Could not believe it. I got on them for not punting that for punting that first time. I wanted them to go for it there because I think when you come in here, you need to do something different. You need to have plays that take control of momentum in the game against New England and get New England on their heels. And not once did Pittsburgh do that. Only time they really did was, I thought it was Jason McCourty busting a coverage. Or maybe, I got to go back and look at this thing from the high angle again. It could have been Daron Harmon taking a poor angle over. Because McCourty had great positioning going up the sideline on that long 45-yard pass that Ben perfectly threw in there. Because McCourty pulled up about 25 yards downfield, just like stopped. And I think he thought Harmon was coming over the top, and Harmon sort of took an underneath angle, and then he ended up chasing. But other than that, what did Pittsburgh do? Nothing. 83 yards first. Nothing. They've had the entire offseason to get ready for this game.
You like the shotgun toss on third and one, by the way? Do you like that play?
Oh, I like, you know, I like running. We do this in Pop Warner, too. Like, if a play works, you know what? If a play works, here's what we're going to do.
Run it four times in a row. Hey,
line up. Do it again. Do it again. Tight end. Call bunch right. Put the tight end way out. Flex him out. Bring him in short motion. Get Ben in the gun. We're going to toss to the tight end side motion. Oh, we only gained 1 yard there. Oh, shoot. Let's run it again. Oh, 2 yard loss. Third down. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to run it again. I mean,
we got all this money tied up in DeCastro, Pouncey, and Foster. We're going to run outside on a shotgun run in third and one.
Yeah. Steelers. Made of steel. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Play the fight song, Jim. No, don't play it. That's insulting to this current crew. Old Steelers, they would have pounded that right up in the middle. Go back to the bus. Not the bus, but Jerome Bettis. Yeah, Bettis in the backfield, they'd run him. They'd run freaking Parker. They'd run it. Antoine Randall.
Yeah, back when they had good offensive coordinators like Bruce Arians and Todd Haley. Who? Randy Fichter? Like, is that the offensive coordinator?
Damn near killed her. Yeah. That Randy, yeah.
I'm going to get some trouble.
Oh, please. That one.
And defensively, the theme of the night was just Tom Brady's been shredding zones in cover two for 20 years. And you guys just want to keep rolling it out. What are you doing?
Not touch Julian Edelman. I don't care. I don't care if you get lit up for 45. Stupid. Then almost it should have happened.
You're stupid team.
Hey, New England doesn't have a tight end. You know what? Keith Butler, I want you to hit number 11 all day long. Not once did they jam Julian Edelman.
Stupid morons.
I sit there with Ninkovich during the preseason. We're doing the TV together, and he goes, it amazes us as a team sometimes. We sit there and film. We watch other teams prepare and how they look at our offense. And they can't come to grips with, boy, if we just disrupt their timing a little bit, which requires me to do this. One hand check. Edelman, it's coming over. Boom. That's what we're taught. When we play these offenses that are fast and have that bunch routes and do the stack stuff, and you know they're coming on crossers, you know what we do? We sit, we hit, we punch. Just that little punch takes half a second of timing off.
Do you know what?
They never did that.
Do you know what the Steelers, why they're lucky? They're lucky that the Patriots haven't figured out their red zone offense yet. They're lucky. Mm-hmm. Patriots, that's one of the things you can look at last night and say the Patriots, well, that's something they're going to work on because they haven't quite figured out what they're doing in the red zone yet. And obviously, Antonio Brown is walking through the door. So things are about to get significantly better. Yeah, that'll help quite a bit. But they haven't figured that out, and that wasn't figured out last night. Had it been figured out, the Patriots are hanging 50 on the Steelers last night. Mm. The Steelers are lucky in that regard.
True. You think Brian Flores is having a good day today?
Yeah, they scored seven times.
Brian Flores is sitting there looking at this going, Pittsburgh had one conversion on third down. One.
And they scored seven times. They had one turnover, and they didn't have any sacks, did they?
Who?
Patriots didn't have any sacks, did they?
Mm. No, they hit him.
No, they hit him. They got to him.
They got to the feet. He got
but I'm saying they scored seven times without field position being flipped on a long sack.
Correct.
Or like a turnover or something like that.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Right. No, they hit him and the ball came out, and then they recovered. Pittsburgh fell on the football. That's what they had. 617.
Just one sack in the box score. That's it.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Let's talk about Antonio Brown. We've got that coming up in Read and React at 1136.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
Now Dorsett motions wide to left. Brady takes the snap. Play fake to White. Throws it to the left. Dorsett makes the catch. Turns to the far sideline and steps out of bounds with a first down scoot to the 48 of New England. Eight and over, but late for the Steelers. Third and one from the Pittsburgh 44. Short motion from the left by McDonald. Toss to the left for Cotter, and he's going to be caught in the backfield. Jamie Collins anticipating with a burst.
And visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LifelineMA.org.